This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Ben. Good morning, Sia. Good morning, Amanda. Good morning, Mamali. It is a Friday. Are you ready?
Ooh, yeah.
Sia is so ready. Sia, talk us through that Friday shirt. I mean, not only am I seeing your entire chest, but there's an arrow that's going down to your business time.
Ben, seriously?
Business time.
Let me just say, this is not business time. It's after business. Let me just say.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry. There's a little bit of a peekaboo action happening
nip
on the side.
Slips happening. Then. Sorry, because we know you're not sorry. So is this the aftermath of Pusha Thursday coming out?
No, this is just a simple string vest.
Oh, yeah. You just threw that on. Yeah. In a rush, did you just wear this?
I did. And it just has a print to it. And it's not an arrow. It's just some...
Wait, it's some kind of symbol.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
A sailor's anchor. That makes it even better.
Exactly, because I'm totally such a sailor. But it's not pointing down to my no-no area. I'm more of a gentleman.
Yes, area.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Over weekends, it becomes the yes-yes area.
It's like you're chubbing for Harvey Weinstein.
I would forgive you if you had an arrow pointed down. Some of your conquests need a little bit of direction.
Anyway, I did say I was a gentleman, so I do not discuss such.
Yeah, if you wear a shirt...
My newfound gentlemanness has just started.
With wear a shirt with an arrow that actually points to your crotch, you mean business.
Yeah, I think, and you want to get,
you want to get straight
to the
business.
Point. Yeah, exactly. Right.
People know not to mess around.
I don't know, I'll probably take the jacket off a little later. It's fine.
After last week's excitement of getting married at Opikopi, I mean, what are you going to do this weekend? How do you top that?
Oh, goodness. No, I just need to sit at home in my gown and moisturize this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you just get a moisturizer gown? I never thought of that.
A moisturizer
gown. You get a gown, but the inner lining is basically just like perforated like sachets of moisturizer.
That could be a business you could get into, Ben. You know, DIY
or
for
just,
me means
or
destroy
just lie in a vat of moisturizer. You should buy it enough.
Then you get bugs.
You think?
Yeah, the bugs will find their way in.
Yeah, that's not a good look. No, no, no. I have tons of TV to catch up on and some movies as well. So that's what I'll be doing. Just lying on my couch this entire weekend.
All right. Sounds pretty good.
And avoiding a family get-together situation.
No, you know, it's sometimes nice to avoid those. Sometimes you want them, but sometimes you want to avoid them.
No, that's all just right. A headache waiting to happen.
What's your plan for the weekend, Mubs? Any excitement?
No excitement.
No.
People lining up at your door?
Nope.
Oh. Have you chased them all out?
No, I've just postponed them to the next weekend.
Okay. Ben, yours?
Well, starting off today, Gareth, I'm playing in the golf day.
Oh.
And then I'm giving a speech to young cricket people.
Oh, very nice.
Well, I'm emceeing the event, so we're going to talk about crickets and...
Sounds good.
I'll be dazzling.
All right.
How was yesterday? Because we were also off playing
golf. Yeah, yesterday was cool. Well, it was the whole final round thing. So, you know, you get the Nedbank Challenge, which is the biggest golf event in the country, on the continent.
Absolutely.
I'll now nod and pretend
so
I knew that.
That's just a month away, basically. So the course now gets closed, and they literally make sure it's like perfect for the pros. Hmm. And I got to play an event and then flew my drone around yesterday morning.
Took some really beautiful footage. I saw it yesterday. He basically flew his drone right from the lake at the bottom all the way up towards the palace.
At like the crack of dawn. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
On the YouTube channel next week.
It's gorgeous. Anyway, I mean, that place is just... I love Sun City. I don't know why. I mean, a lot of people have fallen out of love with it. It can sometimes be a little bit too much, if you know what I mean. And it's a strange place. It's a very strange place. But when you're there, it does feel like you're on holiday, even if you're just there for a day.
Yeah. I'm just always so happy there. It's just something about it. The mix of things makes me so happy.
I like Sun City without a lot of people. Like if you're going there for an event or some sort of ceremony and they're just like 40,000 people packed to the maxation, then I'm not, no.
No. I was there, what, two Saturdays ago?
Yes. You see, now that's good.
And it was quiet. It wasn't busy at all.
And you really get to soak it all.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Anyway,
What about your weekend?
I'm in Durban this weekend. I'm off to speak at the Durban Entrepreneurs Club tonight. That's kind of the reason I'm going down. And then I just decided, what the hell? I'm going to, you know, the place is flood ravaged. Let me see if I can help hand out food aid.
And by food aid, you mean tequila shots.
Right.
Listen, I would actually appreciate that if I was there.
Yeah, like you and Donald Trump are about as useful as each other in a disaster area.
I need to throw you some paper towels. You remember how he was standing there throwing paper towels in the crowd? God, it was funny. All right. Lots of messages rolling in already, early as it is. Let's go. First to Dev, who says hello. Hello, Dev. Hi. Then somebody here who's Quentin sent a picture of a family lunch at Kolkakio yesterday.
Mm.
And he just shows people like getting down into the pastas, man.
My mouth just started to water when I saw those pictures. That's so bad. What? Right. Like it's 6:13 in the morning. I can't.
Someone says, morning, roll call. Ben Karpinski?
Ah, yes, very much, yeah.
All right. And then a lot of other people asking about how Sia's year of yes is going. Well, we gave an update the other day. I mean, he even got married. You don't get more yes than that.
Yeah.
You know?
To a woman.
To a woman. That he met on the day.
Yes. Right. Guy's not messing around.
Classy.
Absolutely. So we've been talking quite a bit about Harvey Weinstein.
Mm.
Over the last few days. I want you to hear this. This is the police sting with that Italian actress that Mabali told us about.
Well, it was actually Gord who told us about her.
Okay, well, here she is. She's basically got a microphone on. You know, Harvey doesn't know this. She goes to the hotel. Listen to how he's just, you can't talk him out of it. Listen to how persistent he is, dogged and determined. To just get her up into the room.
No, yesterday was a kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person's touch.
I won't do a thing, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I know, but I don't want to.
Please sit there. Please.
Weinstein asks Gutierrez to come with him up to his hotel room.
If you embarrass me in this hotel,
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
I mean, don't have a fight with me.
It's not nice.
Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children, please come in. Mm-hmm. On everything, I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable right
now. Please come in now. And 1 minute, and if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my jacket,
you can go. Why yesterday you touch my wrist?
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that. Come on.
Are you used to that?
Yes, come in.
No, but I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on. Sit here for a minute, please.
No, I don't want
to. Can you believe that?
Mm. I'm used to that.
Ew.
What the hell does that mean?
It means that it's completely normal for him, Ben.
Mm.
I swear on my children.
Oh, yeah. What a creep. Ugh. And then you got to hear this. This is an actress called Catherine Kendall. If you haven't heard from her, it's because she wouldn't give it up to Harvey. That's why she hadn't become a major star.
Wait, so did the Italian actress give it up eventually?
No, because she was wearing a microphone. Oh, police, the FBI were with her. Stupid. But here she is talking about her experience. This is quite long, but I'm gonna just find little parts of it that you might be interested in. Listen to this.
I was 23 years old. I had just gotten out of acting school, and I'd gotten a great agent, I thought, and was happy going on auditions and taking meetings, and I met with lots of different studios.
So you imagine this is a 23-year-old girl, all right? And this is what happens when she meets Harvey.
Books he loved. And then he legitimizes it again by sitting across the room from you.
And you felt he was taking you seriously at this point as an actress.
Yeah. It's funny because as you're asking me the questions, I realized that there is this sort of back and forth of like safe, unsafe, safe, unsafe. And I think he plays into the safe part until he can get to the unsafe part. Looking back, I see how manipulative it was.
So this is, by the way, from the New York Times Daily. And, they interviewed Catherine Kendall, and this is her first-hand account of what happened all those years ago.
What do you mean by the safe, unsafe part?
There's a way he made it safe. There was a way he saw me being fearful and convinced me, but did it in a way that played into the things I needed to know to make it safe for me.
Mm-hmm.
right? Like, my wife could be home, or, oh, I'll show you pictures of my kids. I mean, there's sort of things that, he knew he was throwing out there to let me know, don't worry, it's safe. I think he could sense my uneasiness for sure. And so that he would then take a step towards making me feel at ease again. And then he has this intellectual conversation with you where you feel like you're being taken seriously and that feels so good. And then he got up and he went to the bathroom. And it was around time that I felt like I was going to be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back out and he was wearing a robe. Oh. And I thought, this is so weird. And he said, will you give me a massage?
Oh.
And I said, no, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. And he said, oh, come on, everybody does it. And then he name dropped a couple of people, one famous model in particular.
And he suggested that, like, they all had given him the massage. Did,
yes, and that they do it all the time. What's
creepy,
the big
huh?
deal?
And what were you thinking
and I was
about?
Like, well,
sorry, go ahead, sorry. Keep going about it.
No, no, it's okay. I just thought to myself, well, it's a big deal to me. And
all right, so a shitty interviewer aside, this is a very, very strange situation for a 23-year-old girl to find herself in. I mean, she's in his bedroom at this point, right? And this is what he does. He walks out in a bathrobe. But listen, it gets even worse.
And at this point, I'm feeling like my heart's starting to beat really fast. I also felt pretty steadfast, like there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not comfortable and I'm not going to do it. And then he kind of went into like a begging, like back, come on, you know, come on, like back and forth, like one more try. And I sort of got my things up to get ready to leave. And he left the room. And this time he came back a completely head to toe, naked.
Oh.
Just naked. And he's a big guy. And he's between me and the apartment door.
Oh, girl.
He said, well, if you won't give me a massage, will you at least show me your breasts? Will you lift up your shirt and show me your breasts?
This is unbelievable.
And then he sort of had his hands out and was doing that back and forth dance from side to side to not let me pass. Like a shuffle. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. How someone sort of, you know, I'm blocking the door and I won't let you pass. Like it was maybe a game to him or something. And so now I'm trapped, you know, that's when it really got like surreal, out of body sort of, but you know, is this really happening? Is this going to happen to me right now? Is this the moment that it happens where like, I'm just going to leave my body, I guess. And this is going to happen.
Is that horrible?
Yeah, that's frightening.
What a horrible human being this guy is to do this to some 23-year-old actress who's just trying to make it in the profession, you know? And here's the question I'm really interested in. And I'm sorry if this is insensitive, but I want to know which girls did.
Well, they're not going to come out and admit it, are they?
Hell no, but I want to know which girls said, all right, Harvey, I'll take it for that, but I want that role.
As I'm listening to this, I really have this quote ringing in my head, which is, true integrity is doing the right thing when you know no one's watching. And yeah. I don't know if I was in that situation, what I would have done. Because genuinely...
You mean you would have done Harvey if he'd asked nicely?
I'm not judging these girls because you don't know what it's like. If this is something you seriously want to do...
Yeah.
And you have aspired to do this all your life and you've worked hard at it. And really, this industry, you get so many no's where you feel like it's the end of the world. You feel absolutely despondent. And here someone says, just massage me.
Mm-hmm. And Meryl Streep is saying, follow your dreams. And then you're thinking, okay, this is obviously what Meryl meant.
Meryl.
I don't know.
Yeah, and by
the
way,
this is really horrible for these girls.
There are lots of people condemning Harvey now who James Judy Dench had his initials tattooed on her backside.
What?
Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, because she said he was responsible for her getting her first Oscar.
But she looks so classy and put together.
No, she's a fun lady. She but now she thinks she wants to get that taken away.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I was CNN this morning because my dad stayed with me last night, so he was watching the news. And Jane Fonda was saying, well, you know, Harvey Weinstein, blah, 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 all the things. And then I think it was Christiana Amanpour says, so was there anything between you and Harvey? And she's like, no, I'm old. Harvey likes them young.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like it because...
So she missed the generation of creepiness, thankfully.
Yeah. Jane Fonda.
Her age saved her from Harvey.
Luckily for her.
I'm speaking of which... Every time I see that Jane Fonda, I can't believe she's in her 80s.
She looks amazing.
Do me a favor.
I just hate age. It's so unfair. There's a dignified woman who didn't get touched up a Harvey, and she looks old.
No, but it's age works for some people. I was also looking at Bette Midler this week.
It trips you up.
She's in her 70s, and she looks gorgeous.
Yeah, but she
doesn't
look like she looked like when she was 30. This is my point I always come back to with age. Why must we look like absolute terror before we die?
Because that's just the design.
It's not fair. It's stupid. Where's the upgrades?
But I will say that aging, when you have a ton of money, looks better than for the average person who doesn't have as much money. Well, it just does.
We all know there's a big difference between a 100 rand moisturizer and a 3,000 rand moisturizer.
Sure.
I mean, I think they've got like infantile dolphin semen in... juiced moisturizers. Hey. These people with the money.
Mm-mm. That's why they have that glow.
That's why they have that glow. Even look at politicians. Mm. You get the ones who just sign the dotted line. You get the ones who make the decisions. Look at their moisturizing regimes.
Mm. Hey, people. Speaking of politicians, I had a fascinating conversation with Bantu Holomisa yesterday.
Oh, the general.
Yeah, which we will be playing out next week. Really interesting. I mean, just the guy is also not afraid to answer any question. He was in the flow. He was talking yesterday. Just let it all out. You know, he's got an interesting story. Long before anybody else had left the ANC, when ANC was still golden because Madiba was the president, all this stuff. Remember, Bantu Holomisa was expelled from the ANC. Remember? And he said it took him 8 days to recover, and then he was fine. And he moved on. So he doesn't know what these people like Makosi Khoza and Pravin Gordhan and Kabisi Jonas and all of these people. He doesn't know what they're on about, that they can't leave the ANC. He said, you know, when you're expelled, you don't really have an option.
Yeah.
And he said, that's what you need, because then you can move on. And then he started the UDM. And he had a lot to say about the current state of politics, especially coalition politics. He was very complimentary about the other political parties, except for obviously the ANC, which he has just no time for. And ironically, the ANC still respect him. Many people in the ANC still respect him.
Well, I do think they had to respect him when Madiba personally calls him. And not them.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to respect someone like that.
And he called the president, Jacob Zuma, a thief.
Yeah, it's the best description.
Oh, he just opened up about state capture. Yeah. And I didn't know the general had such a great sense of humor, actually.
Oh, yes. No, he's a great guy. So that will play out for you. A couple of really interesting interviews this week, but you'll get to hear them in good time. We're trying to build up a nice stockpile of excellent stuff for you so that you don't get bored and so that we have loads of things to carry you through the summer and make sure that you're entertained and informed and inspired and empowered and motivated every single day. So the weekend is finally here. A lot of people excited about that. We'll get into news in a moment or two. We'll catch up with Ben and some sport. And we'll find out whether Cape Town has any chance of making it through March with water.
No.
None. And plus, there's a guy coming in. How old is this John dude?
Roy, 68.
He's from the Vale, so you better be ready for him. And if he gets out of control, you better get ready to fight him, okay? Is that right, Amanda?
I've got this one, but...
You got it?
Yeah.
All right. Are you and Ben doing the hubbly today?
No.
Yeah, got plans, Gareth. Okay. Got to go straight to this golf day.
Ooh.
All right, professional.
Well, let me tell you before we get to the five things you need to know today, Touchbase Pro have helped us with our daily newsletter. We've got updates on the highlights that we've come up with, jokes, news, funny stuff, all that you need to know, you get to know. And you can click sign up on our homepage. You could fill in the form and enjoy. It will only kick up the stuff that you really are interested in. In other words, if you don't listen to Frankly Speaking or the Renegade Report, they won't give you that stuff. If you like to listen to Adrian Groenewald and the Leadership Platform, that's what will come up for you. If you like to listen to the Just Now Comedy Show, then that'll come up. Whatever you like, it's all tailored for you. And you can go to Touch Base Pro to find out more information about how you could do the same thing for your own newsletter. But in the meantime, if you haven't signed up, go to cliffcentral.com and sign up for the newsletter. It's on the top right-hand corner of the page. And you can get all the news that you want as you like it. Gets delivered into your inbox every morning. What else do we have today?
Oh, just today looked at the date.
Yeah, I know.
Friday the 13th.
Ooh. I wasn't going to mention it because I'm not superstitious. Ah!
No, I was just like over it.
Are you? Anyone here superstitious? Does anyone care about Friday the 13th?
No.
If there's nothing else on, sure.
But I have to admit, I was going to go down to Durban this weekend as well. And then I was like, not going to fly down Friday the 13th. So rather moved it to next weekend.
Oh, so you are superstitious.
No, just like I'm not superstitious, but I don't want to tempt it as well. I don't believe in ghosts, but I don't want to be at a graveyard at midnight. You know what I mean? Just somewhere in the middle.
I see Fikile Mbalula is going on a massive blocking spree at the moment.
Oh, really?
He's blocking left, right, and center. He must have more people blocked than people following him. He better be careful. He might dip below that million that he was so proud of the other day.
Oh, no.
You know, if he carries on blocking people, then they can't follow him, then he'll have less than a million followers.
Oh, minister of good times.
Not so much anymore. The guy's in serious trouble, as we discussed with Justice yesterday. And if you didn't hear that, you can always download it and have a listen. Justice says, you know what? If Yengeni went to prison, this guy should too. Tony Yengeni's not going to sit there and go, okay, I went to jail for a discount on a Mercedes. A discount. How come this dude gets a 680,000 rand holiday? He didn't declare, just like me.
We used to have a democracy where people went to prison for discounted cars.
Yeah, we did.
What happened? Why have we drifted so far?
Jacob Zuma happened.
Yes, Ben. Why do you keep acting surprised?
Like Tony's almost a martyr in this whole thing here. You should have a public holiday for him.
Saint Tony Yengeni. Anyway, all right. I drove past the KPMG offices the other day and I kind of went, shame. We mustn't be horrible to them. They've got enough problems.
Oh, all right. Some good people there, but the rotten 20 or so pull them all down.
Yeah. I love the way we always have to say there are some good people there just in case. They've been let down by their own. Those people who are good should get their pitchforks and their burning torches and their crowbars, and they should chase out the bad people.
Well, that's kind of
like who they are.
Gareth, that's like me and you chasing out the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, because women are going, oh, I told you men are trash.
Yes.
And then we're like, Harvey. Fuck.
No, Harvey does not help the situation.
Screw you, Harvey.
All right, here are the five things you need to know with Colcacchio's Pizzeria this morning. If you're looking for the best quality food, the greatest service, teamed with a relaxed atmosphere, then Colcacchio Pizzeria is the place for you. Colcacchio Pizzeria is a family-friendly environment which allows everyone to enjoy being part of the whole pizzeria experience. I mentioned Quentin sent us a picture just now of him and his whole family chowing down at Colcacchio's.
With baby in pram.
Baby in pram. Bowls of beautiful-looking pasta. There's a bottle of Tabasco on the table, some salt and pepper, a little bit of fresh garlic, fresh chili. Oh, man. That's what I need for lunch today.
Not a bad idea.
I'm actually going to go to the Colcacchio's on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to meet Mfundo, our super fan.
Oh.
So I've got Colcacchio's on the menu then tomorrow. Maybe I'll find something else today. We'll see how it goes. Here is Mubs, five things you need to know.
Well, if you are in KZN or if you're headed to KZN over the weekend, as you are, Gareth, see, I chickened out because of Friday the 13th. It's such a sad set of affairs. KwaZulu-Natal has been declared a disaster area. Heavy rainfall and gale force winds wreaked havoc on the country's east coast. The number of people who have died has risen to 8, and more people are still missing.
Uh-oh.
KZN Premier Willies Mkunu said that they had met and discussed a whole bunch of things, and after their assessment, they decided that the province needs to be declared a disaster area. And so what that means is that what happens next is the necessary financial assistance will then be applied for so that they can go about getting back together, you know, mending structures, fixing broken things. I mean, I don't know if you saw that one video of authorities who had to go into somebody's house because it was completely flooded, and these people were stuck in their home. They weren't able to go to, you know, to escape, so then these guys had to go in and rescue them.
Wow.
There was also a picture of a guy who managed to pull an elderly woman out of her vehicle. Nobody knew who this guy was, but they managed to track him down. So, yeah, according to authorities, KZN has just been declared a disaster area, and now the necessary financial assistance is needed so that they can start getting back on track.
Well, I'm sorry for all the people who have lost their homes and who've lost their livelihoods and who've lost their vehicles. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. And obviously, if you've lost a family member or you've lost someone that you knew, that's even worse. I do think, though, in the scheme of tragedies and disasters, the numbers are kind of low on this one. And I'm surprised that they had to declare the entire KZN a disaster zone. Because it's a quite localized storm. But let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Obviously, the more help they can get, the better.
And then the Escort Magistrate Court in KwaZulu-Natal has provisionally withdrawn charges against 3 of the 7 men suspected for cannibalism. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the court said that there is insufficient evidence to prosecute the 3 men. However, the matter will remain subject to investigation, and should sufficient evidence surface, charges against them may be reinstated. The court then adjourned for the 27th of October, because that is when the bail application for the remaining 4 accused will be heard. But as far as these 3 go, charges against them have been provisionally withdrawn. Not enough evidence.
Sure. Really?
That's according to the Escort Magistrate Court, Gareth. Not enough evidence.
For cannibals?
But what about
for cannibals?
What about that whole thing of like, hi, I'm tired of eating humans?
Well, I suspect that that guy is one of the remaining 4 who will only be appearing in court on the 27th of this month for their bail application. Yeah, so it's just for 3 of the 7 accused.
Sorry, I didn't realize there were waves of cannibals in this.
Yeah. Also, there are a whole bunch of people who, you know, went to the authorities and have reported family members missing. But, I mean, that's not sufficient evidence. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, you can't tie them to the cannibals. Cannibals.
Fine young cannibals.
Why am I tripping myself over?
All right, well, I don't like that. Okay, Amanda, you must not drive through there again, please. She drove through Escort last time.
Why aren't the stalls hitting Escort and cleansing that place?
Because they, and
you
they
want the because there is no God. Ben is the answer. Would you
That's
really
all
like
all these truths today are ruining me. What next?
All right, we move away from KZN and head over to the Western Cape, where Cape Town International Airport has scooped another accolade. It has been voted Africa's leading airport at the 2017 World Travel Awards, Africa.
Cape Town Airport?
Cape Town International, Gareth.
I hate that airport. How could they have won awards?
Well, Gareth, it was voted on by professionals in the travel and tourism industries worldwide, so your opinion does not matter. Thank you very much.
Well, I'll tell you why. You want to know why?
Please do.
All right, Cape Town Airport. First of all, when you get off a plane, you always have to walk for miles to get to where your luggage is.
Always a long walk.
Always.
Always.
Then you pick up your luggage, another long-ass walk. Then you get to the main sort of concourse, another... If you're renting a car, you have to walk to Stellenbosch. Then you get your car, you have to drive for miles to exit the airport. I tell you what... Whoever designed that wanted fat people to suffer and wanted those of us who are not fit to suffer and wanted everyone to walk so far that by the time they eventually get to Cape Town, they're exhausted and just sleep. Don't use any water.
Okay. Well, All Out International had taken this award last year. The awards this year took place in Rwanda earlier this week. And Cape Town International is officially the best airport on the continent. As voted on by the World Travel Awards.
It's like a maze. You have to, they want you to walk through the whole maze to find the golden thing in the middle. Please. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. You've been to that airport. Yes. You have to pack putkos from when you get off the plane to when you get to your car. And yeah, heaven help you if you have to return a car and you're running late because your flight is about to leave. You are finished. You park that car. Walk. Under the ground, up again, up the escalator, check in. Then they say to you, oh, you've got 2 minutes to your flight. Run to the other counters on the other side. Then there's a queue like you can't believe to get on the plane. The most surly, miserable people at the gate going, go to that gate.
It's a workout.
Put your bags in. Then you have to find your gate, which is sometimes miles away. I don't know who designed that airport. Must have been a sadomasochist.
And then lastly, Italy's Gucci say that they will stop using fur in its designs from next year. They're going to start implementing it in their spring and summer 2018 collection. Gucci are joining a long list of big brands that are deciding to turn their back on the use of fur. They are part of Paris-based luxury conglomerate Kering. And they've seen their sales rise over the past 2 years under creative director Alessandro Michel. And Michel has now recently taken the decision that it will be a nice PR exercise for them to also announce that they are against the use of animal fur. So Gucci
it's
being...
It's taken them a long time.
Yeah, well...
Everybody else stopped using fur in, what, the 70s?
Yeah, fur went out with, like, Zsa Gabor.
Right.
Oh, Zsa.
She's late, right? Like, she's no more.
Is she?
Yeah, didn't she?
Last year she died and Sia cried.
Or she's like super in her 90s, isn't she not?
All right, so those are the five things that you need to know. After 7 o'clock, as part of the news stories that I've got for you, I'll tell you about a nice PR exercise for Harvey Weinstein, who's now checked himself into rehab. Yay!
All right.
Those poor nurses. Imagine being a nurse in the Harvey Weinstein ward.
He'll say he needs to be massaged to feel.
It's like, I've got a problem. This is why I'm doing this. I mean, look, I've checked in. This is immunity for me.
He says that he needs treatment for sex addiction, but I mean, you know, his PR people are working hard. They are working hard now to try and get control of the story.
All right, well, let's get into it. Ben, time for the sport.
Yeah. It is the MTN 8 Cup Final this weekend. So Cape Town City versus SuperSport United. Interesting kind of dynamic because Eric Tinkler was the manager / coach, I never know which one is which, of Cape Town City last year. And he decided, well, rather controversially, rather suddenly, I'm going to go to SuperSport United. We said it's because he wanted to take longer showers, but maybe from a career perspective, he just wanted to come back to SuperSport. So Benny McCarthy is the new Cape Town manager, and he's having a dream start to his career there. So those two will be locking horns tomorrow. And it will go ahead. Of course, the MTN 8 Cup Final is taking place in Durban. Durban has been ravaged by the storms. But 7 p.m., the PSL, those people, they said, look, it's going ahead.
Yeah, if Syria can have a football team, then we can play football in Durban.
Exactly. So that's your big local football focus. The Premier League is back. So it's been away with the World Cup qualifiers and internationals. So just to give you a little rundown, Man City, all the teams have played 7 at the moment. So Man City on top. They've won 6, drawn 1. The exact same record as Man United, but they're slightly ahead on goal difference. So Man City has scored one more goal, 22 goals to the 21 of Man United. These are the two teams that people are favoring to take the title. One of these is going to do it. Who's got the better squad depth concerns and who does better in all the other competitions? Because all these top teams are really stretched throughout the year. They've got to play in a variety of cups. And of course, the priority is the Champions League. So if they go deep in the Champions League, well, you could just find that on a horrible, wet and cold Tuesday night against Huddersfield Town, they might just suddenly slip points because, you know, they've just been playing Barcelona or Real Madrid or something. Crystal Palace, they are the arse end of things. They've played 7 matches. In all of 7 matches, they have not scored a single goal. Not one. They've
really?
Lost 7 matches. They've played 7. Not hit the back of the net once. It's embarrassing.
That is terrible.
So to look at the big fixtures, Liverpool will take on Man United. That's the big one. 1:30 at Anfield. Jurgen Klopp is under a lot of fire. I mean, his record's not great. And Liverpool have got to start producing. It's as simple as that. Man United are going to be a stern test for them. And after that, it'll be Man City versus Stoke City. And that'll be at 4 o'clock. And then Crystal Palace, you can't do anything. They're hosting Chelsea. It'll also be at 4 o'clock. Mm. Spurs hosting Bournemouth. And then, yeah, that's pretty much all the big games. I'm sorry if you support West Bromwich, Albion or whatever. But they play Monday. Now, Arsenal take on Watford away, 6:30 on Saturday. So that's your football for the weekend. Cricket, you know, Ben Stokes, he got drunk and sort of beating that guy up outside mm-hmm. that bar.
Yeah.
Well, he says he will make the full explanation to the public when the time is right. So instantly you think, well, dude, just out with it. Just tell us the story. But he doesn't want to talk now because the criminal investigation is ongoing. So he was arrested, but he wasn't formally charged. And all that sort of video evidence came out of him assaulting that guy, even though the other guy wasn't too keen to fight. So he doesn't want to interfere with that, but it's not looking good for Stokes. His press team is probably going to make all the announcements anyway. He's just going to read from a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
But he has already lost his major sponsor. So New Balance sponsored him, and they said, well, no longer. And that's a £200,000 a year contract.
Gone.
Wow.
Just like that. Well, you know, you act like that. That's what happens to you in life, I guess. The Box, well, they're going to the Northern Hemisphere for their Northern Hemisphere tour, or end-of-year tour into Europe, which sees them playing Ireland, November the 11th. Then they play France, November the 18th, Italy, November the 25th, and Wales on December the 2nd. Which year is?
Is a month before your birthday?
No, it is my birthday.
Oh, isn't it's that like you don't December care. The 2nd?
What did I just say?
You said November the 2nd. Moving on. At least I sort of remembered your birthday. Yay! Your birthday's coming up in.
Oh. Ruined it. There was that moment that you speak of, and you just ruined it. So those are the four fixtures, but we'll be without Warren Whiteley. His troublesome groin is still troublesome.
Oh.
So much so he cannot play for another few months. So Ibn Elisabeth will retain the captaincy. Dwayne Vermeulen, the eternal hope of eighth man for the Springboks, he's injured again. No surprises there, so he won't be eligible. Either will be Jaco Kriel, shoulder injury. Unfortunately, he's not going to play either. And then Ruan Combrink, who Alistair could say probably wouldn't pick anyway, but you know, because people want him picked, he's not paying lip service to the fact that, well, unfortunately, Ruan's injured, so he can't play. But Kuni Ustazen's back, and that's always a good thing because Kuni's a real powerhouse, and he's a good performer in the tight loose. That's what people always say about him. But speaking of rugby injuries, an amazing article has been put out this week, which I will share with you on Twitter. Is about the injuries in rugby and how the injury culture is just so hectic. All these teams nowadays, because the game is becoming more physical, conditioning levels have to be higher, it's just such a more intense match that the injuries are just becoming more and more hectic. And it's such a norm for these players. So Dane Cole, he's given insights on this on the BBC.com sports site, saying that, well, injuries are just part of the game and you are hurting throughout the week. So the best you can probably feel is about 95%, and that's probably on a Thursday. He says on a Saturday night, you're so sore, you can bet you can't sleep. You just lie there like a cripple. You wake up on Sunday morning, your neck hurts, your shoulder hurts, something really hurts to the point you can't really move. Earlier in the week, you try to get through some sort of training, but everyone, you look around your rugby team and everyone is screwed. And he says this is the bond that makes rugby such a special game because everyone is struggling. So there's this sort of brotherhood that kind of develops around these injuries, which I know sounds strange to people like us who don't play contact sport for a living. But he said, well, you know, his father worked down the coal mines and he broke his back when coal fell on him. So either way, life's going to get you in Dan Cole's mind. And he just says that, well,
what a way to live.
By the time we get to 50, 60, probably can't move. But when you love a game, that's what happens. But it's hardcore. It really is. You look at all these injuries and what these guys do, especially after that match last week, the Box versus the All Blacks. That game was so physical. It was so hectic. And you know that they are sore. Even guys in their 20s, they are sore up until like Wednesday or Thursday.
That's awful.
Imagine how much you really love rugby.
You can't do that to your body and expect your life to be good. Right?
Yeah. It's hectic. It really is. But this Jesus. Is, more's come out about this now. So people are talking out about injuries. And you know, there's places in England who just actually don't want kids to ever play rugby because you tackle someone. But you know, this is the NFL and the concussions.
Mm.
It's serious stuff. There's some people who are literally crapping in bags there at a young age out there because of contact sports like this. But hey, we love it and we appreciate them ruining their lives for our entertainment.
Yeah. It's like the gladiators. Exactly it it's like the gladiators. In,
it is.
It's exactly the gladiators in ancient Rome. They go to the death for you. Ave Caesar, morituri te salutant. Hail Caesar, those who are about to die salute you.
Oh.
No, we're here for your entertainment, basically.
That's exactly what it is. They get in their concussions and we're sitting on our couch all fat with chips and beer going, get up, get up.
Oh, you can do better as if you yourself sitting on the couch can do any better.
Well, that's it. So yeah, you finally understand sport. Well done. And in cricket this weekend in Kimberley, in the De Beers Diamond Oval, South Africa will take on Bangladesh in the first ODI. Look, Bangladesh were absolutely piss poor that test series. I don't think they could be any worse. I don't think they could be any worse at even at anything, really, than that test series. So look for a more competitive match there. And that'll start at 10 o'clock because, well, it's a nice daytime game. So if you're in Kimberley, yeah, nice day out.
If you're in Kimberley.
Nice day out.
If you're in Kimberley, leave.
Kimberley's a lovely place.
If you're in Kimberley and you can, get out while there's still petrol.
It's a beautiful historical town.
Sure. It's like in The Walking Dead when you hang around in the middle of nowhere and you just wait for the zombies to come to you.
Oh, yeah, that's not that bad. Please. That's it for your sport, Gareth.
All right.
If you want a golf chat, catch the Bounce Show on the Cliff Central podcast list.
Very good.
I put that out yesterday. I had a chat with a guy called Kyle Porter from CBS in America. Really nice chat.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Ben, he did sound like Timothy Maurice.
Yeah, a little bit.
He sounded exactly like Timothy Maurice. All right, let's get to Sia. It is time for some inspiration this Friday morning. Take it away, Sia.
Well, good news for people in Puerto Rico. This is awesome to hear. So after the horrible, horrible hurricanes, you know, like the likes of Hurricane Maria and Irma. That
Hurricane
have
Despacito.
Well,
that was the worst hurricane.
In your mind, yes, you can't believe that. You know, dozens of celebrities have been donating to hurricane relief. And even Tesla CEO Elon Musk is reportedly in talks with one of their governors about rebuilding the island's entire electrical grid from scratch. But only this time it will be entirely sustainable. What is now the latest development in trying to help Puerto Rico is
Puerto Rico.
I just love saying it that way. It makes me feel Latino. Takes me back to my roots. help is on the way to actually recover their cell phone coverage. And this time it's coming from Google's Alphabet. So they are really bringing in some new technology because they will bring cell phone coverage in the form of 30 balloons. This is very interesting stuff. So Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, has just been granted permission by the Federal Communications Commission to launch these balloons from their Loon project over the island. So with 90% of Puerto Rico without cell phone coverage, the Loon project balloons would act as these replacements for cell phone towers that were knocked over by the storm. So each balloon would hover about 19 kilometers off the ground and provide voice and data coverage for roughly 2,000 square miles, which is like 5,000 square kilometers.
Well, you know, Musk is trying to make that happen here in Africa, huh?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, technology is the way to just work smart instead of working hard.
By the way, do you want to hear how to pronounce Puerto Rico from Donald Trump?
Okay.
All right, listen to this.
We are also praying for the people of Puerto Rico.
Oh.
We love Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico. And we also love Puerto Rico.
What, like?
There we go.
Oh, boy.
So emphatically present. Oh, well. You know, I just like that technology is the answer in this whole situation. So these balloons are going to provide coverage that would be provided through local carriers. So Alphabet has already received consent from the island's local cell providers to utilize the balloons in their network. Though a timeline for their launch has not been issued, however, Alphabet reps say that they are working to quickly iron out the right logistics for the Loon debut. So the Loon project has already been hailed successful for bringing cell phone coverage to Peru during the country's flooding last spring. So look at that. Huh. You know, did we ever imagine a day would come where, like, we'd not be using balloons for odd clowns and rather to help people in their time of need? So kudos to Alphabet, the parent company of Google, who'll be bringing communications to the people of Puerto Rico.
I'm sorry, what?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
We love them.
I don't know who annoyed you more between you and Trump.
Listen, like, I'm 18th cousins twice removed with Sofia Vergara, so the Trump can actually annoy you, not me.
Hey, listen, if the Trump administration were a movie, it would be rated R for language. Listen to this.
Administration were a movie, it would be rated R for language.
Political bull.
Many politicians curse, but only rarely in public. But Donald Trump has taken the practice to new heights, regularly using vulgar language in televised rallies.
They're ripping the out of the sea.
Most recently, he insulted professional athletes like Colin Kaepernick, who take a knee during the national anthem.
Get that son of a off the field right now. Out. He's fired.
Trump used to be even more profane, using a particularly vulgar term in 2006 to criticize then-Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
I wish she was a bitch. I don't care if she's a lovely woman.
One notorious speech in 2011 was laced with F-bombs about China and other subjects.
You're not going to raise that f***ing price, you understand?
Listen, you mother, we're going to tax you 25%.
Trump's use of profanity can be strategic. One study found that people thought legal testimony was more credible when it included swear words. And another study in Italy found that they had more favorable impressions of political candidates who cursed. Swearing plays into Trump's self-image as a truth-teller, unafraid of being politically incorrect.
Our country's going to hell. I don't give a damn. If it doesn't work for me...
He's also used it for emphasis, to show that while everyone else promises to, say, fight terrorists, he'll be tougher.
I would bomb the s*** out of him.
Trump also uses curse words to belittle and denigrate his opponents, as he did while running against Texas Senator Ted Cruz in the Republican primary.
She just said a terrible thing. You know what she said? Shout it out, because I don't want to... She said, I never expect to hear that from you again. She said he's a that's terrible. Terrible.
Trump's public use of cursing has started to catch on, especially among Democrats.
Not that damned wall!
But there's a paradox. While Trump's public use of swear words has helped him, his most famous private cursing in the Access Hollywood video got him in trouble. He even issued a rare apology.
I moved in her like a but I couldn't get there, and she was married. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the...
Swearing works because it's the kind of thing you're not supposed to say in public. When Trump swears, he's signaling to his audience that he's talking the same way he would in private, a classical rhetorical move from a populist who criticizes career politicians.
Isn't that interesting, huh? The swearing. I mean, you didn't hear Bill Clinton going off. Barack Obama, they didn't talk like that.
Now that I think about it, really, I've never heard a politician swear. But I think that's the last of his worries in terms of image control and reputation management.
Well, it seems to be helping his image. Anyway, we'll keep looking at that as things develop. A lot of people are starting to say that, Trump's presidency is more precarious than ever. Like, there are reports coming out of various, obviously, Democratic publications that are saying that the White House is falling apart. Sorry, I'm falling apart. Anyway, we'll get to some news in a moment or two. We'll meet a guest for this morning. We're also going to, later on, meet the daughter of Stephen Hawking, Lucy Hawking, who's written some books on science that are going to be a real win for people. They're in Xhosa and in Zulu, and they will be available in South Africa, which is terrific news for anybody who wants their kids to grow up with an understanding of science in their own home language. I think it's terrific. So he's coming in a little while.
She.
Did I say he?
Yeah.
I said he?
Yeah.
I think you're thinking about Stephen.
No. I know the difference. We don't have, we have no way of getting Stephen Hawking in here.
Okay.
Are you kidding? Please. There's no way to get him in here.
Okay. No, you've got him in the back of your mind, so your brain went to he instead of his daughter.
And you know, I was saying to her when I interviewed her, the most important thing about you isn't that you're Stephen Hawking's daughter, because she's done all this amazing stuff on her own. And then I go and say he. What an idiot I am. All right, it is 4 minutes to sever. Are you ready for Friday?
This is CliffCentral.com.